now.
Okay.
Take two.
Yeah.
Why is it take two?
We just lost power.
We lost power. We have an epic storm going on here.
Mm-hmm.
So, since you didn't hear the first take, we are Cirque du Psyche. This is a podcast that we do.
We're trying, at least.
And we're on episode 12.
Yes.
Yeah. And we've already tried this once, and then we lost power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good thing, I mean, we were maybe a minute or so.
Yeah, we just started. Oh, man, that would have sucked being way
halfway
in.
Through.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Rage quit and just went and got some pancakes somewhere.
Anyway,
I am the host of said podcast, Tanner, the Cosmic Potato Farmer, and across from me is my button pusher, Monica, the Indubitable Space Fox. That was part of the banter of the first try.
Yeah, we established talked about that. Monkeys and pushing
yeah,
buttons.
It was a whole thing, and it's gone now.
It's all gone.
It's gone, but hey, we're here. We're here again. We're on the backup generator,
mm-hmm.
So I think we're pretty safe this time.
Yeah.
No power. I mean, it was sudden. It was.
Yeah.
It's kind of startling.
It was.
Yeah, because I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Wow.
We're thrown off right now.
A little bit. We're gonna recover. So anyway, what do you got to say over there? What's the happenings?
The happenings?
A huge windstorm happening right now.
Yeah. Oh, it's weird because we're about to get a bunch of rain and lots of wind, and the sun's peeking out right now.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's so weird.
The sun's still up there above the GMO clouds.
Yeah. I'm discombobulated right now.
Yeah. And the storm, of course, didn't come in when they said it was going to because we're spraying and spraying heavily for 2 days.
Yeah.
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 And just get what we get when the government say so.
Mm-hmm.
Idiots.
Mm.
Anyway. Yeah. So I'm starting jujitsu tonight officially.
I'm gonna
if
watch.
That don't get shut down.
Yeah.
Because of the weather. I mean, we had school shut down today. All mm-hmm. kind of stuff. So I wonder if we're going
to
do that.
I think this isn't supposed to last like an all day deal.
Mm.
Maybe a couple hours at the most. Hopefully it'll be past this by lunchtime.
Yeah, because I'm trying to get to town and get some breakfast.
Yeah.
After we record this.
Yeah.
Old Parker's is always open.
Good old reliable Parker's.
Yeah, if everything else is closed, they'll be open.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you got? What news do you bringeth forth today?
Well, we have been presented with an awesome opportunity to help start a community garden in Walterboro.
Yeah.
And so we literally met the guy last Friday, talked to him, and he was very excited for us to help him because he's literally doing this by himself.
Yeah, and he's 76 years old.
75. Right now. I didn't hear him say that yesterday.
Well,
I think he turned 76 this year. But
still, dude's pushing 80.
Yeah. I'm hearing weird things in my headphones. Did you hear that?
Word things?
Weird things.
Oh, weird.
Word.
I mean, it's
word.
Wind noise and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Acorns hitting the roof.
Yeah. But anyway, so yes.
That's the door right below
no,
us.
No, it was blowing. In my headphone. Like, it clicked.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's on you.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, sorry. Sorry about that. So yesterday, we got to go check out the area that he was given to for the garden, which was a terrible spot.
Yeah.
At first.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to talk to the director. Is he the director of the
Yeah, so where artisan? The garden's going, it's called the Artisan Center.
Mm-hmm.
It's been there as long as I can remember. I've never even set foot on the property.
Yeah.
And so when we met him last week, we found out that's where it's going. But they were giving him like a little tiny plot of this smaller than our office.
Mm-hmm.
Right here where we're sitting in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was full shade like all day.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to me that they were setting him up for failure.
Yeah.
So what he does is he runs it's a board position, mm-hmm. unpaid board position, this poor guy.
Yeah.
It's a full-time unpaid board position that he runs called Keep Walterboro Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So he does, he coordinates like litter pickup,
yeah,
things like that, teaches classes, you know, just, you know, and he's done a great job because I even said when we moved back to this area how clean Walterboro was.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a dump.
Yeah.
And apparently in the last, he's done it for what, 15 years? I think he said 14, 15 years.
Yeah.
And he's pretty much single-handedly responsible for making Walterboro look nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's done a great job. But and he's tried community gardens two other times, and it's failed because, surprise, surprise, nobody wants to work. They expected him to do everything, but everybody wants that warm fuzzy of being involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to put their hands on anything.
Yeah.
And so it seems like he tried to do it again, and it sounds like they're just like, oh, here's this little tiny spot behind the Artisan Center.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess the director of the Artisan Center, I guess they put it up to him, left it to him to tell him where he can put it.
Yeah.
And it was in the worst location because there's a building right next to it that has to come down in the future. That's mm-hmm. going to affect the garden. It's going to change the whole dynamic of where the sun is and not and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got there early, and there was a spot next to it. It was going to be a flower garden.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. It was a perfect spot.
Yep.
So when he came out, he was kind of making fun of us. He's like, you're in the wrong spot. We're like, we know this spot's better, though.
Yeah.
And so the director came out, and he called him over, and apparently he was in a good mood that day. And we met him for the first time. And Dana is the guy's name that's running the show here. He introduced us to the director and told him what we do, who we are. And it's always that outside source. You know, you can't trust the people close to you who know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Monica explained what we do and who we are, and we pretty much talked them in, letting us put it in a better spot.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be good. Mm-hmm. It's about what? It's less than a quarter acre.
Yeah.
But nice sunny spot, a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we spent yesterday morning helping them build
raised beds.
Raised beds, yeah. Words.
Yeah.
Raised beds. Yep. So, mm-hmm. yeah, he's all fired up because we asked him when we met him last Friday, like, who else is helping? Literally nobody.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is 75 years old and was expected to go out there and build the boxes out of this super heavy milled lumber that he got.
Yeah.
It's just really good wood, but, man, they were heavy.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, and but yeah, so we got all the boxes built, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, but we're excited about something we've been wanting to get our hands in, and meeting him was a huge blessing on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
Him, that he's got people who are dedicated and willing to help.
Yeah,
and us, we don't have to go and try to meet who we need to meet and bust through the red tape. He's already done that.
Mm-hmm.
So with us working together, I think it's going to be a really good turnout. It's going to be a really good project.
Yeah,
and I literally think they were setting him up for failure. So it's just kind of like, oh, well, you're retiring in 4 years. Well, just, you know, here, let this fail again and we can get over it. Well, now yeah. we're going to make it flourish. It's going to be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And he told us yesterday that he's going to kind of leave it in our hands when he's retired.
Yeah.
And so he'll have a couple people, hopefully a lot more by then.
Mm-hmm.
They're passionate about this, want to see it succeed. And it'll always be there.
Yeah.
And almost like, I wouldn't really call it a thorn in the side of the city council, but a reminder that, you know, things can happen when the community comes together,
mm-hmm.
whether you like it or not.
Yep.
And I don't know. They focus on such the dumbest things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's plant red buds next to the highway no one's ever going to see because the Murdahl trial is about to happen in Walterboro.
Yeah.
Let's put in new medians for all the new traffic coming to watch the Murdahl trial.
Mm-hmm.
Stupid things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's not take community garden serious.
Yep.
Yeah. But we're going to do it.
Yep.
We're going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to succeed. And I like where it's at.
Yeah.
It's in the middle. It's right downtown. It's behind a building that's not very easily accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there's a lot of, and it's in a nice area. It's in the old historic downtown area.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like there's a lot of, let's just be honest, stupidity walking through there.
Yeah.
That's going to come through there and mess things up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like it's in a good protected location.
Yep.
And that people can't just easily access it.
Yep.
And destroy it.
Yup.
So, yeah. And it's also right behind an amazing restaurant.
Yeah, we totally went and got lunch after we built beds. Yeah. And it was delicious.
And we're going to, eventually when this gets established, I'm building a special box for that restaurant to grow lettuces and things, because it's a deli.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to grow their lettuces and things like that. Maybe tomatoes.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, that'd be awesome to supply that stuff right out of the garden right behind their store.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we got to wait a year before we can even sell any produce.
Yeah.
It's got to be in production for a year for whatever reason. I don't understand that. Mm-mm. Before we can even sell anything.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be giving a lot of stuff away at first.
Yep. That's all right.
Yeah,
we
it
like
is.
We like to do that anyway.
Yeah, but yeah, but like you got to play this stupid game to show them it's going to work. And yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff. Good stuff. What are you doing over there? You about to push a button? Oh! What is that noise? Small business promotion time?
Yes.
Here at Cirque du Psyche Podcast, we like to promote a small business once a week because we believe that small businesses are the backbone of America. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, that we actually did an entire podcast on that. Was it number three?
Maybe.
One of the early ones. Go listen to it, and you'll find out exactly how we feel about small businesses. And we love them.
Yep.
And today, I'm going to talk about one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to talk about two, actually.
Uh-oh.
And it's going to tie into the whole gardening thing, because that's what we're discussing today as our main topic. We're going to build a garden from the ground up.
We are.
And also, our big news item was starting a community garden.
Yeah.
So why not promote a gardening type of small business? Why not promote two while we're at it?
I have no idea which ones.
She has
either.
No clue. And also, the word of the day later is garden related. This podcast also goes out to Aunt Leanne.
Yes. Yeah, she definitely requested this episode.
And while we're at it, Aunt Leanne is not the small business. I kind of got off track.
Yeah, you did.
But yes. Yeah. Anyway, so I want to promote our local farm store, Benton's. Okay. Feed and Seed. They're local farmers. They've actually done this a long time. It's where we get our hay and feed and seed.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there in the name.
Mm-hmm.
But they also have a bunch of other things. This is where I get my fencing stuff. Did I say the name already? I'm all over the place right now.
Benton's Feed and Seed. You did.
Feed and Seed. Timmy and Michelle Benton. I'm sure they won't mind me saying their names. Michelle will smack me later if she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
She's like 4 foot tall, but she's scary. She's feisty. No, but yeah, awesome business. They have everything. If they don't have it on hand, they can get it for you quick.
Yeah.
They work with you. I don't know if I talked about this. I actually was, they were out of hay.
Yeah, you did.
And I did I? And mm-hmm. I went, she took me to her farm right down the road, the hay farm. And I was like, here, load it up here. He's got it ready. Instead of having to wait at the store. Go right to the farm, get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, Benton's Feed and Seed here in Walterboro.
Mm-hmm.
Walterboro, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
It's somewhere close where we live.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of.
Kind of, sort of.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But the second business also is one we discovered this morning.
Oh,
and I don't remember what it's called.
Soil3.
.com?
That's the website.
That's the website.
I don't know what else to call it.
So the reason we're bringing this up is our friends Ben and Meg from the Holler Homestead, they had their video we watched this morning. They got a bunch. They built all these big terrace beds on their property, and so they couldn't produce enough compost and things to fill them.
Yeah.
So they outsourced it from this company, and we looked into it. And the reason I'm promoting it is I'm not trying to hate on Benton's, but we're getting one pallet. I'm supposed to pick it up today, but it's raining. And one pallet of Happy Frog, like potting soil, compost mix kind of type of thing, right, is like $900. But it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Right? And I like supporting my small business. But at the same time, as a business manager, runner that I am, I'm the farm manager. So I have to make smart financial decisions sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It doesn't mean I'm going to pull off my business from Michelle, but when it comes to big bulk items, it makes a little more sense to save a little money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So One pallet of that Happy Frog costs $900, mm-hmm. roughly. I'm not sure exactly how much. We're going to go ahead and call it $900. So we found that Soil 3, and we can get four. It's like the big four. It's like the big totes, like the big ton totes. Mm-hmm. And I think Ben says about 1,500 pounds. Mm-hmm. So it's not a ton, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so we can get four of those, which would be roughly 6,000 pounds, which is 3 tons of good composting soil for how much?
Same price.
About $900.
Yeah.
And 50 bags weighs, how much was it? About 2,500 pounds.
Yeah.
So about 3-1 there.
Yeah.
So I want to promote both because we're still going to always support Benton's. We love them. They're awesome. They have everything. But mm-hmm. sometimes you got to make that smart financial decision.
Yeah.
When you need a lot of stuff, right? So I also want to throw out Soil 3 mm-hmm. out there, and they deliver it to you.
Yeah.
But you got to have a tractor.
Yeah.
Because it's heavy.
Yep.
Heavy. So they're going to deliver it right to the farm. We're going to unload it, and we're going to use it. But we're also going to use the Happy Frog because I did buy a pallet.
Yeah.
So we're doing both.
Yep.
We're supporting both. Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. We got a lot of beds to fill still.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah. Can't wait to grow all the things.
We're going to be growing everything. Oh, the power's flickering.
Oh, man. I hope we don't
lose
this.
I'm hoping that generator stays on while we. Yeah, I can still hear it running.
Yeah.
Which is weird because it's all the way at the other end of the barn.
It's loud.
It is loud. Remember, we had to stay here for 3 days during Halloween.
Yeah.
And, man, that thing run and run and ran and ran, and it's so loud.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of get used to it, but then it's that one weird time you wake up in the middle of the night and you hear it, and then you can't unhear it.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I'm awake now.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's nice having it.
Yep.
Because if we didn't, we wouldn't have power at all right now.
No, we wouldn't.
Which would suck because all of our freezers full of meat. The bacon I just cured mm-hmm. and smoked. Well, it's not bacon yet, it's bellies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Smoked bellies.
So Sunday, I, the Cosmic Potato Farmer, stayed the night at the farm and babysat 2 pork bellies mm-hmm. on the smoker. I cold smoked it with pellet tubes, which is a fancy, cool little invention I just discovered. That because our smoker doesn't get cold enough to cold smoke things.
Yeah.
So you fill this tube up with the pellets and you light it with a torch. And you blow the flame out and it smolders for about 4 hours. So I had to go check it every 4 hours for 24 hours.
Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah. Started Sunday evening about 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then Monday at about 6 p.m. I took it off.
Mm-hmm.
It's in the freezer now. I hadn't even sliced it yet, but.
Yep.
It was fun. Mm-hmm. It's nice doing your own things like that.
Yeah.
But how many people would do that? Oh, 24 hours every 4 hours?
Yeah.
Oh,
not worth it.
Oh, I'll just go buy my bacon.
Yeah.
You go right ahead. Get your nitrate bacon.
Mm, gross.
Get the diabetes. All the other stuff that comes with it. Anyway, what are you about to say?
I don't remember.
You're about to say something.
I don't remember.
You were all like, you're winding up.
No.
You were.
I don't know what I was going to say.
Wasn't important then.
No.
Oh, man. This chair sucks.
Yeah. We need to get you a better chair.
Yeah. I thought this was going to be a better chair.
I did, too.
I love how you just took mine. Hear it?
I hear it.
It's cracking and popping.
Yeah. Like your hips.
Popping and locking.
Your knees.
Yeah, my hips, knees. I don't know what. It's me or the chair.
Oh, my gosh.
It's one of us. Mm. Is this the dead space?
Yep.
Dead air?
Mm-hmm.
Dead air.
Would you like some crickets?
No, okay. You don't like the crickets.
I don't like those crickets. Yeah. So.
We just get like real crickets and keep them in a box and pull them out, shake them, and put them next to the microphone.
I mean, sometimes we buy crickets for fishing and stuff. So
chickens.
We'll bring them up here when it's podcast time and we have dead air.
Mm.
We're going to be making their call the whole time.
We shouldn't have dead air.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need to work on your co-host banter.
We should be flowing right
like,
now.
Oh, he kind of ran out of things to say, short-circuiting. Let me fill this dead air with something to say.
No, that's my job to short-circuit. That's hard to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
Good night. Are we missing anything? I have a little template here. Miss anything? No? No, we're doing good.
Yeah.
kind of sticking. We're trying to stick to a little template.
Kind of.
And it's working a little bit. It's weird because I'm not a structured type of guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am, but I'm not. Mm-hmm. Like, I like structure. I like organization.
Yeah.
I like plans. And I do like structure. But when it comes to things like this, I don't.
Yeah.
As much.
It's weird.
It is. Hmm. It is weird. I'm a controlled free spirit.
That's weird.
Yeah, it is. Well, I am weird.
Yeah. The only thing I have, but the whole episode is going to be a garden episode, so it's not really a garden tip needed here.
Mm. Yeah, the tip's going to be integrated today, unless something else you can think of later.
Integrated.
Integrated. These integrated.
Oh, man.
That's a permaculture principle? Integration?
Yes. Integration? I got them right here.
And not segregation or something?
Yes.
Yeah. So let's not go into that. I want to do a separate permaculture podcast one day.
Okay.
Because it's the same, but it's way different because a lot of people know what it is. Yeah. I don't want to confuse anybody. This is going to be, we're going to build a garden from the ground up. So say it's your backyard. Mm-hmm. Say you just moved into a place or you just procured some land, or like ours, we have a very defined area. We have about a 3-acre fenced in garden with 8-foot high wildlife fence. That's the garden. Mm-hmm. And all the other fence is 5-foot tall pasture fence, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
So we have about a 3-acre defined garden space, right? And we could talk about what we did to get the ground ready. And it translates to any space, really, because you can do the same thing, and you should do it this way.
Yeah.
Because it's the healthiest way to do it. You know, we don't use chemicals. We don't use fertilizer. And if we test this, if we get the soil tested, it's from a very trusted, reliable source that's going to test for everything, not just, you know what you need here? If you send your soil off to Clemson Extension, you know what you need? You need about 5 tons of lime on there. Every time. It don't matter what your soil type is. You need to put some lime on there.
Yeah.
Okay, so what if my soil doesn't need that? No, you need some lime on there.
Yeah. Yep.
And then spend about $40,000 a year on fertilizers and amendments after that because you just killed everything with your lime.
Yeah.
But, you know, those are college people. They know everything, right?
Yeah. No.
No. So we're going to tell you how to build a garden the real way, whether you have a little tiny yard or a 3-acre garden like we're working with.
Yeah.
And our garden at our house, which is dormant at the moment, is not even half an acre.
Mm-mm.
Not even, like, maybe somewhere between a quarter and a half an acre.
Mm-hmm.
If we can, yeah. So it's fairly small. And we did the same thing there.
Yep.
Yeah. And then our community garden is less than a quarter of an acre. Mm-hmm. We're going to do the same thing there.
Yep.
So it works over the broad spectrum of broadness.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You get it. So anyway, let's build a garden. So, hey, we're walking. I'm pretending to walk here like a robot. I'm walking. Hey, look, this is a new place we just got. Let's put a garden here.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the first thing we do? Negative. No. No, go ahead.
No, I don't want to do it.
No, what's the first thing you do? Remember, try not to. Hold on. I'm setting some parameters because I don't want to get.
Well, you start then. No,
I want you to because you're the gardener. And I can, you know, but so anyway, try not to put too much permaculture ease in it.
Okay. That's kind of hard for me because everything I think know, is. I know,
but you can tie it to it because really we're using permaculture to do it, but don't use permaculture terms.
Okay.
In things. Use terms like we're talking to Leanne right now because she wants us to do a podcast like this, a gardening podcast. So pretend you're telling Leanne how to start a garden from the ground up. You got this brand new ground. What do we do?
Oh, man. So this is hard for me not to do it because first thing I wanted to say is figure out which way is north.
Exactly. That's the very first thing you should do.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, okay. So figure out which way is north. Figure out your sun pattern, winter and summer sun pattern.
Summer sun.
Yeah. Summer sun. Yeah, there you go.
Summer sun.
And how much sunlight that area is going to get.
Yeah. Over a 24-hour period. So literally the first day or two, you should just watch it.
Yeah.
Before you even do anything.
Yeah.
And come up. Oh, excuse me. Hungry burps. Does anybody else let her burp when you're hungry?
I do.
That's a weird bodily function, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like you didn't do it when you first met.
I don't know.
That's weird.
I never paid attention to it before.
How did we get here?
We're talking about gardens right now, Tanner.
Yeah, so the first couple of days, you should just watch it.
Yeah.
And it builds your garden on paper.
Yeah.
Make your mistakes on paper.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people will say, ooh, look at that tree over there. It'd be nice to have this.
Mm-hmm.
And well, yeah, it might be. But also, it might be terrible.
I mean, I did that.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah.
But we're here to make your mistakes for you.
Yeah.
Let's make mistakes.
Yep.
For the people.
Yep.
So make your mistakes on paper. The first thing you do is establish north.
Yeah.
And figure out which way your sun, because sunlight is important, because plants are what? You may tell you.
I don't know what word you're looking for.
Your brain is empty as well.
Don't put me on the spot.
So plants are solar collecting organisms.
There you go.
Right? They collect your grass, weeds, your veggies, even your animals.
Mm-hmm.
They're all solar collecting organisms. Mm-hmm. They collect solar. Did I say soil or solar? Solar comes from the sun.
I think you said solar.
Yeah. So first thing you do is establish north and figure out which way your pattern goes. And you keep in mind that south is the way that the sun travels, east to west, but in a southerly pattern.
Yeah.
In the wintertime, it's going to be lower. Mm-hmm. So it's going to produce more shade if you got trees around and stuff. And in the winter or summertime, it's going to be higher in the sky and not produce as much shade from structures and trees and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to keep in mind, if you got shade-loving plants, that's important to know which way is the shade. Is there? There might be some spots that get no sun ever during the day, winter or summer. And it's not a bad thing necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that could grow there. There's other things that you can put there. Like what? If you have a shady area. Mushroom logs.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Your brassicas.
Your brassicas. Yeah. Things like that. Yep. Okay. So we're getting a little ahead of ourselves here.
After
you establish north and you build your garden on paper.
Mm-hmm.
Build a few gardens on paper.
Yeah.
All right. And keep in mind the flow of the garden. The flow. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about usable space. All right. Are you going to do in-ground gardens? Are you going to do raised beds? Are you going to do a mix of both?
Yeah.
Are you going to, do you have a little garden tractor if you got a bigger spot? We don't even really use a tractor in the garden unless we are moving like a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, we don't like to use machines in the garden. But you have a garden cart, you're going to be pulling through there, a wheelbarrow. You got to make sure you got spaces in between beds and have walking paths that are big enough to accommodate that stuff.
Yeah. So at least 4 feet.
Yeah. Very minimum 4 feet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a very small space, you might want to think about using the outsides a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let that discourage you. That, oh, I can't grow a whole lot here. Oh, bro, I'm going to tell you right now, you can grow a year's worth of food in like a 10 by 10.
Yeah.
Section. Just, you got to think it through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you figure out which way is north. You build your gardens on paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you do? What should you do? Get the soil tested.
Yeah.
Figure out where your microbiology is at. Get your soil tested to figure out where your microbiology is, not to figure out what amendments you need to put on that. You do not need to feed your soil fertilizer, anything.
Mm-hmm.
You do not need to put that crap on your soil. Like, none of it. And we tell people, if you got a big spot, it's okay to till the first year because it could be that compacted. Break the soil open. Sometimes it's even hard to get a broad fork in there.
Yeah.
Right? Or anything like that. It's okay to do that once, to break the soil. But it's never okay, in my eyes, to put amendments on your soil.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I don't think there's a place for that. I really don't.
Mm-mm.
There are things that you can feed your soil with, but it's not chemical amendments. It's not fertilizer. It's not lime.
Yeah.
So get your soil tested to find out where your microbiology is, where your life is in your soil. What's the health of your soil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Here we're going to go ahead. We're going to go. We need to put, you know, go ahead and put Billy in a podcast. They haven't talked about him yet, but they do. You can send them soil samples, right? Do they do that still?
I think so.
Maybe.
I know William is getting set up in Texas to be able to do that now.
One day I'm going to. I want to take the course to be able to do it in-house and help other people out with that. Because if you send your soil sample off to, we say Clemson because that's what's near us, like your local university, ag university, a lab, they're not going to give you real results. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell you, here's what your soil is. And what they're designed to do is sell you whoever's paying their bills.
Yep.
Like whatever big fertilizer company. And they're going to tell you, okay, here's what you need to get that life up or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's stupid. You're going to kill everything.
Yep.
It's dumb. So find a reputable place to have your soil tested for your microbiology health. Mm-hmm. So we're establishing north, establishing some patterns. We're building our garden on paper, and we're having our soil tested to figure out where our life is.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. When we first came out here, our soil life was very low. Mm-hmm. And if through rotating animals and managing the pastures, within the first year, we're up into like the 90th percentile of life. We brought life back. We didn't bring life back. We worked with nature, and whatever you want to call it, the soil brought life back, you know, it attracted life because we were managing the ground in a good holistic way, right? So after you've established that, where's your life at? What can you do if your life and your soil is low? Again. Blank. It's like your eyes blacked over like a shark.
I kind of do.
Just glazed over.
I don't like being put on the spot. I just.
This is your bread and butter.
I know it is.
Bread and butter pickles.
Well, I don't like bread and butter pickles.
I do. Anyway.
Oh, go ahead.
You want me to do it? Yes, please. So what I would do, and what Monica would also do if she had the mental capacity to tell you, is that we would plant a cover crop.
Yes, there you go.
Okay, let's be honest. Most soil in America right now has been sitting dormant, does not have a whole lot of life in it. Mm-hmm. And so what we would do is we plant a cover crop. And ideally, we would let that cover crop go through an entire season before we did anything else. Mm-hmm. And so clovers, daikon radish. So if you have compacted soil, instead of getting in there tilling it, if you'd be patient and work with nature and you plant daikon radish along with clover, that'll pretty much do everything you need.
Yeah.
That's all we did in the garden.
Yeah.
Really, clover, we did white clover and crimson clover. And it's also amazing pollinators. So to attract pollinators to your property to work the clover.
Yep.
And the daikon radish grows about 18, 24 inches into the ground.
I think so.
And it breaks open your soil and naturally aerates your soil without mixing to the aerobic and anaerobic soil layers.
Yeah.
So, and what happens when you put those roots into the ground, and it sends out exudates and all that stuff into the soil that the microbiology needs to live. So it will actually spark life into your soil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'm on the right track here. Mm-hmm. What does the clover do?
Well, the clover is, we call it a nitrogen fixer.
Nitrogen fixer. How does that work?
I always do this wrong.
It pulls atmospheric nitrogen out of the atmosphere, the air, and puts it into the soil. There's a lot more to it than that, but for, you know, topically explaining it, I guess, that's what it does. Because plants are, they're pumps. You can't see it, but plants are pumps. Mm-hmm. They're sucking stuff out of the air, you know, the atmosphere around them, and putting it into their root systems.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so that's what we would do. So where we're at.
Yeah.
Cover crops. So ideally, you would want to do this for an entire season, because that's what we did. We let it sit out there for an entire season in the garden. And it's hard. You're looking, I want to get this going. Well, you can either be patient and work with nature and never have a problem. Well, you always have problems, but you won't have the problem of having to give your soil a crutch every year.
Yeah.
That's very expensive. You can be patient and work with nature and let it bring, you know, let it, you know, spark life down there, do its thing and everything. So really the first year, we're not even above the ground yet.
Mm-hmm.
because your soil life and health is more important than anything you plant inside that garden.
Yeah.
If your soil's not alive and healthy, whatever you put in there is not going to work without massive amendments and crutches and input from you.
Mm-hmm.
So ideally you want to have a cover crop sitting there all year or season, right? So let it plant it about what? The end of summer, fall time.
Yeah.
And let it sit there over winter time and everything. And the next spring, you can think about getting your garden going,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
But what else did we miss? Your water. So while you have a cover crop, watch throughout the season your rainfall and where your water accumulates. Does it run off? What are you laughing about over there?
It's so funny. I have my basic order of operations and...
I'm nailing it, right?
Yeah, you are.
I'm not even looking. I do this for a living. I do this for a living. But anyway, So while you got your cover crop, watch what your water's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you may have to do something to manage that. Because if you go in there right away, till the ground up, get your beds in, my beds are flooded. Well, you could have been patient
mm-hmm.
and watched and see what happened. And you could have managed that before you got your garden in. And that will also tell you, okay, here's not a good spot to put an in-ground or anything. Maybe put a little water feature there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you need to put a swale in. We're not going to go into too much detail what a swale is.
Yeah.
But this is basic 101 gardenery.
Mm-hmm.
So watch your land for the first season. Like, let your cover crop do the things. Track some pollinators in there and figure out what your water's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So after you figure all this out, then tweak your garden on paper. Okay, I'm dying over here. get a heavy rainfall. This water stays here for weeks in this one spot right here. Might be a good spot for a pocket pond.
Mm-hmm.
Might be a good spot for a swale or something over there.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things you can do with that water. So tweak your garden on paper before you do anything. So figure out what your land is doing. Work with your land, not against it.
Yeah.
Because you start putting your land in a headlock, it ain't going to take long before it puts you in one financially
mm-hmm.
and mentally. So figure out all that. Figure out what your land does naturally and then work around that. Okay. So now we can get above the soil.
Yeah.
Right? And then what you could do also for fun, because it is very rewarding, is get your soil tested again.
Yeah.
At the end of that season. And then see how much life is in that soil now.
Mm-hmm.
And that will tell you everything you need to know right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one season. Imagine where it's going to be 10 years from now.
Yeah.
When you start putting other stuff in there, feeding the soil more, attracting more pollinators and all the things. Earthworms, nematodes, all the stuff you can't see that's more important than what you can see.
Yeah.
So anyway, so we're above the soil now. So now what do? We go in here and mow all the clover down?
Nope, don't do it. You can either, if you're doing in-ground gardening, you can plant right into that.
Plant right into it.
Clover, the daikon radish, leave it there.
Yeah.
You can cut it back a little bit, but don't disrupt the soil. Mm. The roots of those plants, don't do it. If you're doing raised beds, plant right on top of them.
Yeah.
Or put your beds right on top of that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the daikon, you can actually pull the daikon up, the radishes. They can get like 12, 14 inches long.
Yeah.
And you can use that for, if you have animals,
mm-hmm.
feed it to your animals or compost.
Mm-hmm.
Or just leave it in the ground. It'll rot down and feed the soil microbiology.
The microbes.
Yeah. And the clover can stay right where it's at. Crimson clover will get extremely tall.
Yeah.
Like waist high.
Mm-hmm.
So that could be a problem. But like Monica said, you can cut it back to a usable height, but don't destroy the root system of it because it's still feeding the soil microbiology down there.
Yeah.
And so now we got our garden above the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So let's do an in-ground and a raised bed.
Mm-hmm.
So we got two spots and we want to put an in-ground. And that's what we did. The first thing we did was we put two grocery rows in.
Yeah.
Two They're both 100 feet. 100 feet long.
Yeah.
And that was in ground. And we did just look into grocery roads. If you're interested in what that is, we're not going to go. That could be a whole podcast in itself.
There's a book about it.
There is a book about it. David DeGood. He's awesome. So that's what we did. We did it in ground. And it was somewhere we wanted it to be. It stayed mostly dry enough in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And so we put these two 100-foot grocery roads in the ground.
Yeah.
And it did done pretty good. Right? Yep. So what does that look like, putting an in-ground garden in? Need a tiller? Still? No?
Still.
I can't do nothing.
You can, but we didn't.
Broad fork.
Broad fork.
It took look me into about a, 3 days.
Look up what a broad fork is.
And use it.
And use it.
Especially get if you have a small area.
Get a good one that's one piece of...
A meadow creature. That's what ours is.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's the best. It's literally one piece, and yeah. It's so strong.
Yeah, it's sturdy.
Yeah.
It's held up how many years now? 5?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, so...
So it's labor-intensive. I wouldn't suggest it if you're doing acres and acres of land.
Yeah.
That's where cultivation comes in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a smart way to do it without killing your soil.
Mm-hmm.
But I did broad fork both 100-foot grocery rows, and yeah. It took a while.
Yeah.
But it there's a huge difference. And if you have a small area, do this. If you can't do it, if you don't have the physical capacity, find someone who will help you.
Yeah.
And if you're in my area, I will do it for you because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not, but it is. It's satisfying. So what a broad fork is, essentially, it's these spikes that go into the ground, and you pull it back, and it breaks the ground up. It aerates the ground. Basically, it does the same thing a tiller would do without disturbing your microbiology.
Mm-hmm.
So it opens your ground, and you will know a difference with those daikons have been growing in there. The ground will be softer.
Yeah.
And so you break the ground open, and it aerates. It lets air, water, all the stuff mm-hmm. down in there. And that's what you plan into. It's almost like tilling, but without disturbing the good
without
stuff.
Without turning it over.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And so say you're putting in a 5 by 15 in ground. Just do that area.
Mm-hmm.
It don't have to be perfect. If you go over or whatever, just do that area. Broad fork that area. Cut back whatever clover you don't want or is not usable, and then plant right into that.
Yeah.
So you put your... I mean, what could you put down to help? Like, I wouldn't even worry about weeds. Don't worry about weeds at first.
I'm thinking, sorry.
So would you put down like paper, cardboard, anything for in-ground?
No, just mulch.
Yeah, a little bit of mulch.
Yeah.
Compost.
Yeah.
Get some good compost.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is where we can talk about how to amend your soil naturally.
Mm-hmm.
Compost.
Yeah.
That's the only thing you need. So if you can't make it or you're not making it, find someone who's making it. Buy it from, very few places you can buy it, but.
Good stuff, yeah.
Good stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you can make it, you know, make enough to amend your beds. And that's the only thing I would put down.
Yeah.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, we're breaking the ground. We're amending it with good compost. And we're planting right into that.
Yeah.
That's it. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that simple. And it will work. Mm-hmm. You're always going to have plants that are going to die and not work. But guess what? They weren't meant to be there.
Yeah.
There's no point in babysitting something to the point to where you ignore your other duties and things you have to do with other plants and systems to get that one little plant to work.
Mm-hmm.
If it just won't live, tear it up and put something else in its place.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the in-ground. It really is that simple.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. We have to get past this 150 years of conventional farming to understand this.
Yeah.
It is that simple. The ground wants to grow things, but it can't if it's dead.
Mm-hmm.
So this system will bring life back to your soil, and things will grow.
Yep.
With very little input from you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's your in-ground. So about a raised bed?
So it depends on how high.
Did you say it depends?
It depends. Oh, that's what nobody wants to hear.
Yeah.
So it depends on how high your raised beds are. So if you have a low bed mm-hmm. to the ground, and I would take the broad fork, Broad Fork, the area.
And the reason for that is because the lower, the shallower your box is, your roots are going to want to get through your bed soil mm-hmm. and grow into the ground.
Yeah.
So help it out a little bit.
Yeah. So just break the ground open a little bit and then layer cardboard down. Mm-hmm. The cardboard's eventually going to break down. It's going to attract earthworms.
Yeah.
Feed your beds.
Yeah.
But start with a layer of cardboard.
Take the tape off the cardboard.
Yes.
Plastic. The labels and the printing is good. It's all soy-based. It's all biodegradable. But
yeah.
Plastic is not. Mm-hmm. And if you have any metal, like the staples and big ones,
yeah,
take that out too.
Yeah. So cardboard, you can do a layer of just like the maybe not the best chopped up mulch.
Rough cut mulch.
Yeah, rough cut. I mean, even sticks. You could add some sticks down there. I wouldn't add logs.
No, like the Hugo culture thing.
Yeah, they would take too long to break down. And
it actually absorbs nitrogen.
Yeah.
It sucks the nitrogen that you would want for your plants. And, you know, it steals your nitrogen.
Yeah.
So.
And so, I was just
leaves also.
Yeah, leaves.
If you get like bags of leaves.
Yeah.
From somewhere and they're not poisoned. Use leaves as a layer.
So I was just telling Doug about this. You call it lasagna layering.
Lasagna, yeah.
So, like, if you get...
Good night. Is that rain?
That's the rain now. Jeez.
Holy shnikes. Yeah, let's
hurry
build
up.
This garden.
So, doing layers, you have... Sometimes like, we'll use chicken bedding or rabbit poop.
Like inoculated bedding.
Yeah. Topsoil could be a layer, mm-hmm. just like not the greatest, maybe a little bit sandy soil. And then if you've got the really good compost, or if you do have to buy bags of soil like we did.
Yeah, Happy Frog. We like Happy Frog.
I've never had any issues with Happy Frog.
That's probably the only store-bought topsoil we'll ever buy.
Yeah.
And if you got the resources and the money, well, obviously it's cheaper to buy the soil three in bulk if you need it in bulk.
I mean, for one bag, it was $210.
Yeah.
On sale right now.
Yeah.
So it was 1,500 pounds of good compost soil and stuff mixed in.
But to get good stuff.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Don't get that Miracle-Gro crap.
Oh, gosh.
It's dead. It's poison. Not good for you.
Dead poison.
Yeah. And then after that, you can start planting in your beds. But I would also still top dress it with some mulch.
Mulch, yeah. Don't use store-bought dyed mulch.
Yeah.
Try to find, you know, someone who's like a tree company.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Or someone who's got an excess of it, don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Same thing in-ground, too. In-ground and above ground or raised beds. After you plant everything, top dress it with mulch.
And why is that?
Because it's moisture retention.
Yes.
Helps retain moisture.
Yeah, because if you have the sun beating down on bare soil.
Yep. And what did we say last podcast, was it? Nature don't like to be naked.
Nature don't like to be naked.
Yeah.
The sun is going to wick away all your moisture so quickly.
And that's what the sun is supposed to do.
Yeah. But you want to hold on to that that moisture after you water or after it rains.
Yeah.
To water your plants, because if you go without a week or two of having water for whatever reason, your plants are going to die.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about, we got the in-ground and why am I having trouble remembering raised bed?
I
keep thinking above ground.
Above ground, raised bed.
Raised bed, yeah. Them tall bed thingies. but a raised bed, so that's in-ground and raised bed. It's really not hard.
Yeah.
The most important thing you can do, and this is where people, they want to look at something pretty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, ooh, it's so pretty. And let's plant these plants that are already blooming and stuff and shock the root systems and wonder why they died. Well, I got to put Miracle-Gro on there. No. Work with your soil first. Get life into that soil first.
Yeah.
And then plant ugly stuff in there at first, and then it will outgrow and surpass everything.
Mm-hmm.
All your neighbors, they're doing it the wrong way. Everything.
Yeah.
And just, but the thing is patience and working with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it's not hard. It takes patience.
Yeah.
And but once you get to that point where you're planting and doing that stuff, you don't have to go back and amend your soils.
Mm-hmm.
You'll never have to do that. Sometimes you can go back and plant more clover every now and then. Like if your clover starts to die off, start seeing more weeds.
Yeah.
All right. So how do we manage weeds? Weeds are bad, right? Not necessarily. Not really. Not necessarily. Yeah. They can be. Grass is actually worse.
Yeah.
Grass will take over a garden, and the grass roots are so thick. It's like a carpet.
Mm-hmm.
They will outcompete everything. And that's what you want to do. You want to outcompete the things you don't want. You don't want to kill it with herbicides.
Yeah.
Don't put that crap on your garden because herbicides, it only kills plants. No, it don't. Mm-hmm. It also kills the microbiology.
Yeah.
That we're depending on those plants to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of using herbicides, you outcompete, and that's where patience comes in.
Yeah.
Right? So all weeds are not bad. Weeds are there for a purpose because nature doesn't like to be naked.
Yep.
The weeds will actually come and help cover the soil because that's what it does.
Mm-hmm.
Nature covers itself. But if you don't want that there, you can cultivate it into the soil at the beginning, knock it down, and overplant things, outcompete it. That's really the best thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we first started our garden out here, the broom sage was so bad. And that's because the ground was bacterial. The soil is bacterial.
Yeah.
And you want a fungal soil. And so certain weeds can only grow in bacterial soil, and that's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's like low life. low life soil. You don't want to hang out with this low life soil. But you want your soil fungal dominated, and that's where the good things grow and thrive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get that backwards, right? That's right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, cool. So what we did was we pretty much helped our soil change into a fungal dominated microbiology system down below there. And then the good, you still get weeds, but these weeds are a lot more useful.
Yeah.
You could do things with these weeds. And you can outcompete them by growing overseeding clover and daikon, things like that. There's other things other than clover and daikon. Just look into it.
Yeah.
Cover crops. You can outcompete this stuff. Same thing in your garden beds. You start seeing a certain type of weed, pull it, whatever. Yeah. That weed might be there for a reason. Look into what kind of weed it is, what it does. It could be useful.
Yeah, there's so many medicinal, what we call weeds.
Yeah.
They're actually medicinal.
So the whole reason we hate weeds is because herbicide companies did a good job of making us believe that they're bad and terrible and that we need to kill them with herbicides.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So all weeds aren't necessarily bad. You can use them or you can outcompete them. Don't use herbicides because you're going to kill your entire everything you worked for.
Yeah.
It's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
pests. What do you do for pests?
Don't plant the same thing over and over and over.
So a monocrop can be 10,000 acres of farm or corn on a big monocrop, or it can be 10 foot of tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's a monocrop. If you plant the same thing, and no matter what size the space is, it's a monocrop.
Mm-hmm.
The only nature doesn't grow in straight lines, and you shouldn't really plant in straight lines because the only thing in nature that moves in a straight line is a pest.
Yeah.
They will eat. If you get a row of squash, a squash beetle will eat in a straight line all the way through your squash.
Mm-hmm.
It'll work its way through there, and it'll have its little squash beetle babies, and they'll be born, and they'll keep eating in a straight line, destroy everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you mix things up by companion planting, right?
Yep.
Plant a squash here, plant, whatever, companion, this, that, and the other, and don't plant in a straight line.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, if a squash beetle does find one of your squash plants and eats it, it sucks. You lose it. But when it moves on to the next one, it's like, ew, I don't like this. And it'll dip out.
Yep.
Most likely.
Yeah.
It's not foolproof exactly, but it'll definitely slow them down enough to where you can get out there and handle the problem, however, through chickens or, whatever natural means you want to do your pest control.
Yeah.
There's a natural way to handle everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did our great-grandparents and beyond survive? How do we make it here through them?
Yeah.
They didn't have all this stupid chemicals and everything. And
yeah.
But yeah, there's natural ways to handle this stuff. You're going to lose plants. Pests are going to eat your plants.
Mm-hmm.
But even still, work with, that's part of nature, work with that.
Yeah.
Plant more, 10 to 15% more than what you would like to yield, and account, you know, plan to lose that, mm-hmm. that 10 or 15% to the pests, right?
Yeah.
It's, you know, don't sit here and say, oh, I'm cultivating squash beetles. Like, no, it's just, you know, you don't want to keep that generation going. You know, you can handle that. You can use brain fart again. Diatomaceous.
Yeah.
Yeah, diatomaceous is a good natural. It's food grade.
Yeah.
You can put it in your dog's food.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it in
chicken feed.
Chicken feed, mix it in chicken feed. It's if you have to put something down to kill bugs, use diatomaceous. It's natural. It won't hurt your plants.
Mm-hmm.
It'll hurt the bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it might kill a little bit of microbiology, but it's not going to seep down and kill generations. It's topical.
Yeah.
Right? So it's not going to seep down into the soil and just keep killing and killing and killing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, but yeah, use diatomaceous also as a form of pest control.
Yep.
Yeah. So what about if we're, most people think of a garden, they think of vegetables, right? Maybe some flowers mixed in there.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we have a small suburban backyard and I want a fruit tree? Can't do that, right? Because it's too small. Yard's too small.
No.
No? I could put a fruit tree back there?
Do it, bro.
Oh. How do we do that?
You want to do a guild?
Let's do a guild.
Okay.
What is a guild?
A guild is planting multiple things around a tree, basically. Yeah,
it's a companion system.
Yeah. So you start with your tree, some type of fruit tree.
Nut tree.
Tree. And
fig.
Yeah.
It's my favorite. Gosh. Yum, yum, yum.
You always want to try to get a bare root tree.
Yeah.
Because it's not been babied. And most potted trees that you would buy from big box stores have lots.
Drugs.
Lots of amendments.
Basically, they're drug addicts.
Yeah.
They really are.
They are dependent on whatever they've been feeding them to get to that point in a pot.
And when you try to withdraw them, they may not live.
Yeah. So if you can, get a bare root soil, or bare root tree.
Let's just build the guild.
Okay.
Yeah.
Build
the guild. That should be on a t-shirt. Build the guild.
Yeah. Anyway.
You'd wear it.
I would. So you don't want to put the tree roots any further or wider than what the base of the roots is, like, so just go as deep and wide as the roots are.
Don't plant
the, you don't like need a huge hole,
the branch, if you will, or the trunk of the tree, if you will.
Yeah, so you don't need a huge hole, like,
yeah,
people
see,
know.
Yeah, you see, like, on the side of the road, these so-called landscapers would dig like a 4-foot hole to put a 2-foot tree in,
mm-hmm.
and half the tree is underground. No, literally, it's like you can dig it with your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, just big enough for the roots to go in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So put all the soil back, just lightly pack it down just enough to where that tree's not going to go anywhere.
It's not compacted.
Yeah, it's not compacted. It's just pat it down.
Tap a root.
And then we take cardboard. Yeah. Again, with the cardboard, it's kind of a weed barrier. It's also feeding your soil, like we said.
And it attracts earthworms.
Yeah. So that's our base for a tree. You cut it to where it fits nicely, snug around the tree. You don't want that cardboard touching the tree.
You don't want anything touching the tree except for the soil.
Yep.
Who's that?
Hold on.
Somebody's calling you. Rude.
What?
What is that?
Ring Central IN.
I don't know. Let them go to a message. If it's important, I'll leave a message.
Alrighty then. That's weird.
Rude.
Really rude.
All right. So you get your tree planted. You got cardboard.
And then you can have some berry bushes.
Oh, I'm forgetting something.
Well, I know. I'm not saying mulch. I'm not saying mulch yet because we're planting around it yet still. I didn't forget the mulch. Right. So you can do berry bushes, a couple berry bushes.
But remember also that, like, the companion
Yeah.
Like, you know, because like blueberries like acidic soil. They're good to plant near pine trees.
Yeah.
So, you know, figure out what's going to work with that system also.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
So maybe about 4 foot away from the base of where you planted your tree, you can do some berry bushes. You can do some bulbs.
Tulips,
daffodils, onions, garlic. So that's, you think they're going to grow below the soil.
And they're also a pest deterrent.
Yeah.
Especially what, the daffodils?
The daffodils
deter moles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they'll keep all those critters away from your...
Earthworms. They eat earthworms.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, keep them from eating your earthworms.
Yeah, yeah, there you go.
How about that? Natural pest control,
wow,
under the ground.
Oh.
Yeah, all part of the guild.
Yeah.
Gildy McGilderson.
So whatever, like, you could do herbs, mm-hmm, around anything. Like, you got to think, nature doesn't like being naked.
Or alone. Yeah.
So plant...
And nothing grows in isolation.
Yeah, so...
Somebody said that before, and that's really good.
Yeah.
Probably Billy.
So, and then after you get all that planted, and then you come in with the mulching. So, do not mound mulch up your tree, yeah, little trunk.
Remember, if you remember, the only thing it touches your tree is soil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Below the root, like root systems, not even the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what we call it is a donut ring.
Permaculture donut.
Not a volcano where it goes up the tree.
No.
You want it away from your tree, you know, your little twig, if you're starting with a, yeah, bare root tree.
Even if you have like a eight inch bare root tree.
Yeah.
Put like a 3 or 4 foot mulch ring around that
mulch
thing.
Mulch the crap out of,
yeah,
it.
Yeah. Imagine, it's like the best way you can look is like if you imagine a spare tire made out of mulch,
mm-hmm,
and you're putting that around your tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then water it,
yeah. And you can plant, like, your bulbs and stuff can be planted inside that mulch ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then your berries and stuff or your fruiting bushes can be just outside the mulch ring, or would you put it in the mulch ring too?
I'd still mulch them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you want your tree to be with that mulch ring, the donut.
Yeah.
But still, like, do a layer of mulch everything else also. So, yeah, you have, like, a huge donut. Well, a circle of mulch around everything. Everything's mulched.
Yeah.
But then you have that donut of mulch around your tree.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, so you're creating a system of life supporting companions, mm-hmm, that are going to help each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. So most people plant a plant, they plant it in isolation.
Yeah.
They don't want anything else near it, unless it's the same thing. That's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that. Look at the forest. Nobody planted it.
Yeah.
All 7 layers of the forest are active right now, and no one put it there.
Yeah.
But you just got to find out what works with what and put it together.
Yep.
So we got, that's like the big 3,
mm-hmm,
basic right there. Guild, in-ground, and a raised bed.
Yeah.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
So you want to find out what your sun's doing. You want to find out what your water's doing. You want to plant a cover crop, and get your soil tested,
mm-hmm,
for life, not, yeah, for amendments.
Yep.
Missed anything? Masturbate. We could go for hours.
Oh yeah.
But it's your basic. So really, what the main lesson here is your soil health is more important than anything you'll ever put in that soil.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you grow. That does not matter whatsoever. I mean, mm-hmm, use your wildest imagination to build your garden, really.
Yeah.
But without that soil health, you're never going to get there. Without spending thousands of dollars of putting amendments and chemical crutches in this soil, that's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to replant. You have to buy plants every year, this, that, and the other. So you get annuals and perennials.
Yeah.
But also, when you plant in there, don't just think, oh, this is my vegetable garden, this is my flower garden. Mix it together.
Oh, yeah.
Put your flowers with your vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
Find out which ones like to grow near each other, which ones help each other. Marigolds love tomatoes.
Marigolds can go anywhere.
Pretty much anywhere, yeah. But we love planting them with our tomatoes because they deter a lot,
yeah,
of pests, because tomatoes are finicky. They really, they're my favorite vegetable. Ooh. They're so finicky.
Basil.
Basil's really good. Yeah. But yeah, there's books out there. There's one called what? Carrots Love Tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's all about companion planting. Don't just get on the internet and search the first thing you see like, oh, this is what I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing's wrong with doing research, but go out there and put your hands on things.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry. You're going to kill hundreds of plants.
Oh, I have.
Yeah. You're going to kill hundreds of plants. That's okay.
Yeah, don't get discouraged. That's how you learn.
Yeah, don't get discouraged. Like, oh, I don't have a green thumb. I can't stand that. I don't have a green thumb.
Yeah.
If you got a green thumb, you might want to get that checked out.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a green thumb. It's just accumulate that knowledge through experience.
Yeah.
And trial and error, it's an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Use your garden as like an experimental laboratory of natural growing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to get a lab coat. I'm going to start wearing a lab coat around the garden.
Yeah.
When I'm in the garden, like, bring me my lab coat. Like, I'm in the experimental natural zone.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's really is that simple. It's just most people don't have the patience, don't want to do it right, and then complain when it fails.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
Yeah.
That's really it.
That's good.
And then you like literally use your imagination to grow this garden.
Yeah.
Start small at first. Mm-hmm. Don't overplant. Start with one bed.
Yeah.
Do it in ground and do a raised bed and see which one works better. Sometimes your spot might be only suited for raised beds. You can never go wrong with starting a raised bed because you can manage the soil and everything better mm-hmm. than you can in ground. But yeah, like I said, but if your soil's not where it needs to be, it will ever work right.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Y'all.
I was going to say, how long can we go?
How long can you go?
Yeah. So, in the vein of gardening, because does soil have veins?
Anyway. That's a good question.
I use this word today, and we're going to stick with the garden theme. We're going to define what an exudate is. How would you define an exudate? I haven't looked at it. I got it pulled up. I haven't looked at it because I don't know the actual definition of it. And I'm interested to see what it is.
An exudate, like some kind of organism that's getting pulled or released from something else.
Pulled and released.
I don't know. Like,
see, you were going with pulled like from the soil. I'm thinking into the soil.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm thinking so. Mm. I'm thinking it's a type of, like a simple sugar, maybe like that, man. Like a, that's the way I see it. An exudate
sugars,
like the sugars because your plants put certain types of sugars into the soil.
Yeah,
maybe. And is that what creates a little? I don't know. Anyway, let's look it up. Let's look it up. So exudate. Ew.
What?
I don't know if I like this. Oh wait a minute. Here we go. It's a noun. Which is weird. An exudate is a substance that has oozed forth. So I can see that. It's oozing from the root system. It's kind of gross, but number two is a product of exudation. Oh, that's a revelation there. An exuded substance that we couldn't have done without that. And number three, a fluid that has exuded from somewhere, especially one that has exuded from a pore of an animal or plant.
Hmm.
But it still didn't explain what it is. I'm a little disappointed in that.
Yeah.
So exudates. I guess it just talks about all things that come out of the plant.
Yeah.
It oozes forth.
Ew.
It exudates.
They could have done
exudes
without.
Forth oozingly.
Oozing.
From the plant.
Weird word to describe that.
You know what it kind of reminds me of?
Mm.
The Little Shop of Horrors. There's a lot of oozing going on there to create Seymour. No, the plant's name wasn't Seymour.
No, it wasn't.
It was Rick. What was his name?
Bro.
Moranis, Rick Moranis.
Yeah, there
that
you go.
That was a legend, a tiny little legend.
Feed me, Seymour.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. If you don't manage your soil properly, you will create a Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, man.
It sounds fun, but when you have a 18-foot tall man-eating plant. It's probably not fun.
Nope.
Yeah, maybe at first. It's cool. Then he starts talking. You're like, what? It's kind of cool. A talking plant. But then he starts eating your garbage guy.
Yeah.
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 Not so cool.
No.
Yeah. So anyway, I hope this was helpful. It's kind of hard for us to stick to the basics.
Yeah.
Because we can nerd out so heavily on permaculture and just, you know, go really in depth and probably confuse a lot of people. But we wanted to keep this kind of basic to what to do. And this doesn't apply to just brand new. I did say brand new ground.
Yeah.
But even if you have an existing garden and it's not doing very well, let it go dormant for a little while and start over.
Yeah.
With this same process. All right. So you should have a little bit of a hand up. You've already been operating on this garden. You've been fighting it. It's not working. Well, you already know where the water's at. You should already know where the sun's at.
Yeah.
Where it's moving and everything. So from there, take a step back, get a cover crop going, get your soil tested to see what your microbiology is doing. And this doesn't apply just to new ground. It can apply to an existing garden that's not very healthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, same exact process. I mean, think about what does life need? What does your soil need? It's the same across the board. It doesn't matter where you're at. Your soil needs to be alive to support things that are living, right?
Yeah.
Don't turn your plants into drug addicts.
Yeah.
Don't turn your ground into drug addicts.
Yup.
Yeah. And be careful about buying drug addict plants from the store. But if you think about it, some of these nurseries are just like big methadone clinics.
Oh, my gosh.
Plants come out here like all looped out. Drug addicts trying to get off, but they're struggling.
Poor guys.
Struggle's real. Yeah, I mean, it's possible to get those plants to work, but you got to baby them.
Yeah.
And it's not really worth the time.
Yep.
So give your soil everything it needs, and it will give your plants everything they need. And then your plants will give you everything you need. It's almost like God knew what he was doing. He created this natural system.
Yep.
Yeah, medicinal herbs. It grows right out of the ground. You got vegetables and fruits that grow right out of the ground.
Yeah.
It'd be cool if you could plant like an animal tree. It's like, hey, the goats are ready today. Pop your goat off the tree, put them out there, meh, out there. It's like,
oh, man, what?
That's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Chicken tree. That'll be so messy. It'll be a stinky tree.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. That's probably a good thing we don't grow our animals that way. But your animals, that's a whole other topic. Integrating animals into your garden. We could do a series.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we should have thought this out a little better. A garden series.
Yeah.
But for now, it's just the basics. Let's work on that. Yeah. Let's work on that. Do a garden series. Like, we're going to start back, build it up, a lot more detailed this time, not just the basics. But let's go into real detail about step one. And then, you know, and then eventually get into integrating animals into your garden. Harvesting, all this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that's a good idea. Glad I thought of that.
Oh, man. For once, it was your idea instead of you stealing one of my ideas.
I don't steal ideas as the manager of this property. Everything, all intellectual property naturally falls to my possession.
Wow. Wow.
My success is built off the back of my farmhands.
Wow.
Not really.
Oh.
Not really.
Oh.
I give credit where credit's due. I do. It's just me and you were becoming a lot alike, which is really weird because we were seriously night and day. Like not really nothing in common.
No. We were complete opposites.
Yeah.
Complete.
Yeah. And so we're becoming a lot alike.
You've rubbed off on me.
Well, you rubbed off on me.
Yay!
I mean, I was never really interested in gardening and planting
until
permaculture.
Yeah.
Because I grew up in a conventional sense that doing the garden with my mom and everybody, it was way too labor intensive. Mm-hmm. It sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, this is what gardening is? It sucks.
Yeah.
But then when you discover permaculture and natural ways of doing things, it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun. And because you can put a system in and be like, well, I don't even have to look at that thing. It's doing its thing over there. I can move on to do this other system. And it's closed loop systems that systemate systematically.
Oh, here we go again. Oh, my gosh. I'm hungry.
Build the Guild. I'm putting down on a t-shirt.
Build the Guild. I like that.
So I envision a guild. So a tree.
Yeah.
With the permaculture donut. And I kind of, because of my nerdy mind, it's like an engineer's drawing from above and a side.
Mm-hmm.
So like that gritty type of like blue drawing you see like on a CAD system or I used to actually draw all that stuff by hand back in the day before AutoCAD. I used to do drafting. But I can imagine like one is from the side view, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's the tree with the guild. And then with the roots, you can see the stuff underneath it. And then the second one is from a top view of the tree, like the canopy. And then you can see how the permaculture donut is put around there with the companion, with the stuff, the guild plants planted around it. And then it says, build the guild. You have many people to ask, what does that mean?
Let me tell you.
You got time to sit and drink a cup of coffee and listen? Do you have a notebook? Because if not, I have one right here for you.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it'd be a good idea. A good icebreaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's work on that. We're going to make some t-shirts.
Let's do it. We already have stickers.
You know what we haven't done?
We haven't been putting a lot of stickers out.
We haven't really gone anywhere.
We do, but we don't think about...
Where even are they? Are they in your car?
My car.
Oh, yeah. So you haven't been driving your car much.
Well, maybe...
You do need to go get your oil changed, and we can put some around the big city up there. And I did go to PSA the other day, and I forgot.
Yeah.
They have a little sticker thing outside, and I forgot to take one.
Yeah. Well, also, when we go to town later for jiu-jitsu...
Well, where at in town?
I don't know.
Because there's some places I would not. Like, I wouldn't put one on Jesse's door.
No.
I wouldn't put one on, like, Kelly's. We did put one on Kelly's computer.
I was about to say, you did.
You're checking out our back of her computer's got stickers. I did put one there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we went in there the other day. And
that was actually the first one we put out.
Yeah.
Vanessa's got one on her water cup bottle.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I just need to start thinking about it more.
We'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Yeah, see, here we are at the end of the podcast, and what are we saying?
We're hungry.
We're hungry, see?
We're always hungry.
But it is early.
Yeah.
Usually we record the podcast later in the day.
Evening time.
We've already eaten lunch. It's like that time where we should be eating dinner, but we're doing a podcast like weirdos. And it's, what time is it?
It's only 10:30.
Yeah, going on 10:30. So... Not a whole lot going on the farm today with this massive storm.
Yeah.
So Douglas the Animal. I hope he likes that nickname. Doug, let me know if you like Douglas the Animal.
And why are if you saying Douglas the Animal?
It flows better.
Doug the Animal?
Doug the Animal, Douglas the Animal. It could be. I don't know. He'll tell us.
We need to ask him.
You'll let me know, Doug. He'll let me know.
Yeah.
But, he came out here fed animals because he's awesome.
Yeah.
And... Lanessa's got the boys doing the homeschool thing today.
Yeah.
And we came out basically just to record a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, we were
talking about doing bacon, but we decided against it.
Yeah, I'm not getting a smoker fired up for the next round with this weather.
Yeah.
You got to keep all the doors buttoned up.
Mm-hmm. It's windy.
It is. That's what bothers me. The rain don't bother me so much. Because guess what? When you get your soil healthy... And start building organic matter. That would be more part of our detailed.
Mm-hmm.
Your rain will not collect or run off anymore. It will soak into your soil where it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's we've done a pretty good job so far in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Of getting that to happen.
Yeah.
Helping that to happen. I don't like saying I'm doing it because I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm just helping. I just work here. Mm-hmm. I work for the ground. I work for the soil microbiology. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I'm struggling over here with hungry burps too now.
All right. So go build a garden.
Yeah.
And if you already got one, start over and build it right.
Yeah.
Because I'll be watching you. I just did the eye finger thing. I'm watching you. Yeah. We do a lot of that. Like, I'm explaining what I'm doing. Maybe we should do a video.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do one every now and then. I don't want to record.
Where would we put it, though? We're not really...
It would
YouTubers.
Have to be like off to the
no,
side.
No, I mean, where would we post the video?
Oh, yeah, so that's the thing, too. Yeah. I don't want to have to worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I don't know, yeah. I don't. That's...
We still need to do an email.
Yeah, we need to figure it out. Because I would love for people to ask questions or,
yeah,
You know, a Jeffrey sighting. Let me know. Or a Bigfoot sighting. You got a cool Bigfoot story?
Yeah.
Dude, I'll be like a mix of Billy Bond, Tony Merkel.
Yeah.
I don't like Joe Rogan. He's everywhere. I don't like Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I'm starting to not like Sean Ryan a whole lot.
Why is that?
I don't know. He just seems like he's getting to be a sellout. He just built that big 7,000 square foot facility.
7,000?
Yeah. And he's just, I don't know. He's getting a little, he's getting a little weird.
Hmm.
I don't know. I like the little guys.
Yeah.
I don't, that's why I don't ever want to get big.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to grow big, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I like to have a big audience to spread the message.
Yeah.
But I don't ever seek to make money or fame or anything out of this.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. It'd be cool to have a big audience to talk to, but yeah, but I want to do, where I was going with the whole Billy and Tony Merkel thing is Billy talks about permaculture. Tony Merkel talks about cryptids and stuff.
Yeah.
I'll do all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do all of it. Billy kind of does.
A little bit. Sometimes.
Yeah. But anyway, apparently this is his podcast again. I wonder if he'll ever listen to it. Come across.
Well,
it.
I'd still want to reach out to him to help maybe promote our little community thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We need to get that back going again. It's been a minute.
Yeah.
Do another meetup.
Yep.
Meetup.
Yeah. Maybe discuss whether or not we're going to stick with this name.
I don't like the name.
You don't like it at all?
I mean, I don't know. What is it again? I can't remember.
Low Country Preparedness Community.
Yeah. See, to me, it's like, okay, Low Country puts you in a box.
Yep.
Because we're in the Low Country.
I mean, that's what we were focusing on at first.
At first, yeah, but we wanted to spread, and that's why I don't like Low Country.
Mm-hmm.
And preparedness, that kind, you know, people who don't think, I don't know.
It
sounds like we're only talking about, you can only do this if you're preparing.
Yeah, but we also didn't want to be stuck in the homesteading.
Yeah, realm.
Realm of just homesteading.
Prepping.
We do everything.
Yeah, everything. So we need to come up with, and that's why we need a email.
Yeah.
People can listen to this and say, hey, here's, send us some good name suggestions.
I don't even know how to, like, I've had the same email for
20 plus years.
So
now we talk about making mistakes for y'all, for the garden.
Yeah.
Some people have made mistakes for us. And Billy, again,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to get him on here one day.
Yeah.
I wonder if he would. It would be awesome. But anyway, he talks about how they're messing with his email.
Yeah.
Because he's strong, man. Like, go listen to his podcast, Permaculture Pimpcast. That dude is, he's on fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're messing with him. Like, his emails, they're shutting his emails down. He can't get, people will say, hey, you know this thing. He's like, I never got that.
Yeah.
And even their mail, their physical mail now, he's not getting mail.
Mm-hmm.
And people reach out and say, hey, what'd you think about it? I never got it.
Yeah.
How messed up is that?
Well, you remember. So, when William sent me,
oh yeah,
the, what was it? How would you explain that? It was the notebook he sent me that had all of the soil samples.
It was when he did our consultation out here. So what he does is he comes to your property, does a consultation, and he goes back home and he writes out an order of operations and a very, very, I mean, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
A very, very detailed consultation report, basically, I guess you can call it.
Yeah.
And he sends it to you,
mm-hmm.
in like a binder.
Yeah, but it also had the soil sample.
Yeah, soil samples that he
results.
Took. Yeah, all that.
Yeah, so it took
forever.
3.5 weeks.
And remember, also,
to come from North Carolina,
yeah,
to the Low Country.
It kept getting lost. Remember the Comfrey?
Yeah.
They sent us Comfrey, and it literally got lost. They had to send us another one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. So it
called the mail system, and they were just kind of like, whatever.
Well, for the notebook thing from William, it literally bounced between Columbia,
Greenville,
Charleston, back into North Carolina. It literally 3.5 weeks.
Yeah, and it was in Charleston one time. I called the processing center in Charleston, like, hold it there.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we can't do that. This isn't a physical. I'm like, somebody can't meet me at the daggum door.
Yeah, they're like,
give me what I've been waiting on for 3 weeks.
It's ran by computers and machines.
It's like, nobody really works here. It's all automated. I'm like, there's got to be at least one person there. And she kept saying, I'm just shift supervisor. Hey, I'm happy for you. Congratulations. But yeah. Can you help me out?
Yeah.
Like, good night, man.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, where I was going with that.
Sorry.
Is that he suggests Proton email.
You have to pay for that, though.
Oh, really?
I think it's not free.
Oh. Well, I don't think we're important enough yet.
No.
So we can start a regular email, maybe.
Yeah.
And then if we ever get important enough for my AI. Oh, speaking of, I have AI in my life now. I'm not happy
about
it. I went and got a new phone yesterday, and I cannot stand getting a new. I will use a phone until it's just basically a paperweight that I can make phone calls on. And that's what my phone was. So I went yesterday, got a new phone, and of course, every new phone's got a stupid AI assistant on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sitting here looking at me, listening, putting together red flag reports, and who knows what out there.
We need a Faraday box up here to put our phones
I don't like that, man. They should have an option. Like, hey, I don't want AI.
Yeah.
Oh, but they try to sell it. Like, it's so useful. I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm never going to. I deleted everything I could off of it. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to use it. Never.
Yep.
I can sit here and say, hey, AI, phone thingy, where's my sandwich? Yeah, it ain't making me, I can't make me a sandwich. I don't want it. I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need to ask it questions. I could look that up myself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need it. I don't want it, but it's looking at me. It's a cool color, though.
It is.
But yeah, anyway. Stupid AI. But yeah, anyway, if we ever get big enough to. We're dangerous. Maybe we'll look into buying a Proton email.
Yeah.
Something. But for now, I really want to get that going.
Okay.
See what we can get. You know what we don't have yet, though? And this is how you know this is a good measure of your success. And we don't have any yet, so we're not successful yet. We don't have any haters.
Oh.
Where are my haters at? People can say, it doesn't hurt my feelings. You get fired up.
What?
People, if someone, negative, you get fired up. I'm just like, whatever, bro. That just goes, okay, you're off the list of people I will never help because you're an idiot.
Yeah.
That's just how I see it. Well, whatever. It doesn't hurt my feelings. I think it's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And if we ever get like a bunch of haters, I'll read them off on here.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I mean, I think it'd be fun.
Yep.
Because, I mean, people who hate on you and do things like that, it shows a very marked lack of intelligence because mm-hmm. they do not want to get to know you. They don't want to broaden your mind by thinking there might be another way to think.
Yeah.
It's stupid. You know, look at both sides of any argument before you make a decision.
Yep.
Like, you have your leanings, political, personal, spiritual, whatever, but don't ever put yourself in a box because that's how you get controlled.
Yeah.
If you say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, I'm never going to change, someone's going to eventually control you.
Because
you're going to, that's where these idiots who fall right in line with everything Trump says.
Yeah.
That's a form of control. I believe everything he says, Trump, blah, 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 blah. No, you're just as stupid as the people who only support Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't support either.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a political nomad living out in the desert watching everybody else argue about some idiot who's only on Earth for a few minutes just like the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. I hope this was helpful. Like I said, go build a garden. Do it right. And I wish y'all could reach out with questions.
Soon.
We're going to get that done soon.
We'll have it done by next week.
It's not going to be this week because we're busy.
An email?
I don't know. I mean, we got to design the community garden.
I can get an email before next week. Meeting with Dana
Friday. You think so?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Monica says it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to hold it to her. Hold her to it. And then if she fails, we might have a monkey pushing buttons.
Good. You have fun with that.
I don't want to know. We're throwing poop around the office here. Ugh,
oh,
I don't like
man.
Monkeys. Blech.
Anyway,
let's get out of here and go eat something. All right, y'all. We love you. Thanks for listening. Until next time. You ready for it? I'm going to keep asking you. You look like you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Keep your powder dry.
And your Bibles close.
Bye.
Bye.